The Longhorns escaped. The Longhorns win 41-20. Beat the Roadrunners of UTSA. Jeff Traylor had the Longhorns on the ropes in the first half. Texas down 17-7. The Longhorns, however, over the next three quarters almost, outscored the Roadrunners 34-3. Really came on strong in the second half, led mostly by Bijan Robinson. Robinson finishing with 180 yards, three touchdowns. I want to introduce you guys to Drew Kelson. He probably needs no introduction if you're a Longhorn fan. Rod Babers is at a wedding, not his own, but he's at a wedding tonight. Drew is carrying on the Houston Lamar defensive back tradition on this show that Rod carries. Drew, welcome in. What were your first thoughts on the game?
Man. This was actually the perfect game we could have asked for. I mean, I did look back at the Louisiana Lafayette game last year. A team that was respected, a team that we expected to get a good sound run against. And that game was 38-18. And this one started the same. Anytime you have an experienced quarterback, experienced receivers, that adrenaline, that motivation, they came in prepared to bring it to us. And honestly, I thought along the offensive line that they were sound up front early. I mean, they were very clear on what they had to do to find some creases. Their quarterback made some plays throughout the game. Yeah, and frankly, I thought they did exactly what we expected them to do. They gave us the test that we needed. And I mean, at the end of the day, four quarters of focused football, just playing to a standard. I think towards the end of the game, I did realize, you know, their ceiling was probably right on par with our floor. And so we just had to step it up. We had to find opportunities to make plays, and then the guys, you know, finally started to do that a little bit later on in the game.
Yep. All right, Drew, I want to bring in and say thank you to our sponsor that makes this possible, this show and others. The postgame show is brought to you by accomplished Austin realtor, Laura Baker. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. Reach out to her at Laura@AndyAllenTeam.com and talk to her. She can help you if you're looking for a second place in Austin and you live in Dallas or Houston, or if you're just looking to move in the Austin area, talk to Laura Baker, an experienced realtor there in Austin. Drew, you look at 41-20, the final score. Jeff Traylor pulled out all tricks to start us off. Not only did he go up 10-7, then he tries an onside kick, finds a tendency and exploits it in the Texas kick coverage team. And then two plays later, he dials up a double pass touchdown. And all of a sudden, we had a ball game. It was 17-7 UTSA. What was going through your head when you saw that?
I mean, at the end of the day, I knew Jeff was going to have these guys ready to play. I knew that they were going to be prepared. They were going to have something dialed up. But that's also because Jeff knows you have to do those things to get against these guys to have a chance. So another Texas team, another year, another moment, another just time in over the last 12 years, you can get rattled, and we've seen these teams get rattled. But at the end of the day, playing consistent ball over four quarters, it looked like a completely different game in the second half. The defensive line wasn't penetrating as much as they were early on. It's just you got to expect those things. You can't pick your adversity. Those things are going to happen. So it did not shock me that it happened, but the guys responded in the way that we'd expect them to, or at least that they've shown that they've just had that consistency over this season so far. So no shock there.
Yep. I tell you what, you look at the stats right now, and Bijan Robinson went for 183, had that big touchdown run to start the second half. That gave Texas a shot in the arm. The second touchdown, though, did not come just from Bijan. It came from a Jahdae Barron 44-yard interception return. It was the first time of the game that maybe Longhorn fans and the team could take a deep breath and maybe say, hey, we need to settle in here. We got this game. We just got to keep playing hard, right? I mean, what does that do? You pop a long run like that and then get a big interception return. Drew, you've been in games like that where they kind of open up. What's your thought process in that?
You know, what's funny is, I mean, UTSA showed some resilience too. I mean, yes, they punted on that first drive. We went back and scored, but they were driving. They were not intimidated by it at all. I mean, Frank Harris, he played a great game. He gave us everything he had. I mean, every throw he could make, he was scrambling, he was getting away. So, no, it was uneasy. But he made one mistake. He made one mistake. Jahdae Barron capitalized on it, and that was pretty much – I mean, it felt like that was all she wrote from a momentum standpoint, from the standpoint of just knowing you have a two-score game at that point. There was just – I mean, that's when you really felt the turn. But that one mistake did open things up and kind of allowed us to kind of peel our heels back and not necessarily relax, but just have some cushion to really be able to really take off from there.
I tell you what, we're going to talk about a lot of aspects of this game over the next hour or so, Drew. But I want to start with one that just irritated me to no end tonight. And that was the targeting call on DeMarvion Overshown. Did it not? It wasn't just that it happened. He clearly led with the face mask, not the helmet, or not the crown of his helmet. The quarterback ducked his head to come into it. You know, third down, first sack of the game, momentum. Texas is going to have two scores and the ball for the first time. What were your thoughts on that ref or that call coming from above? It wasn't made on the field, but from above, maybe the second straight time in a game or a week that Texas has had some questionable calls on the field.
You know, Bobby, as a guy who I only knew one way to play the game. I could never survive today. I'd leave with the crown of my helmet.
I was going to say Joel Klatt remembers that or doesn't remember that, right?
I'm glad I didn't play much longer because I only knew one way to play, and I wouldn't be able to even have a conversation with you right now. But with that in mind, that was the furthest thing from a targeting that you could imagine. And not even from the standpoint that it was just helmet to helmet. You can see intent. You can feel intent. You can see a launch. You can see that happening. I mean, I don't know how else a defensive player is supposed to fly through the line and make those types of plays and do anything different in that situation. I mean, we've had our instances of guys missing those wide open sacks, those wide open opportunities. And so to see a guy just fly through and have an opportunity to make it, you don't want to get penalized for that. But, you know, hey, I'd say, okay, is that by the book? But I'm not sure. You know, I usually can handle by the book. I'm not sure, man. It didn't feel good. It did not feel good for me.
I tell you what, I'm speaking with Drew Kelson, Houston Lamar, former Houston Lamar, Redskin. Now I guess you're a Texan. But then played on the Longhorns National Championship team in 2005. Drew, you know, Rod is on vacation this week. He'll be back next week with us. Going to a wedding when you the Texas game is on, that's almost like sacrilege, right? But I'm asking you this because I saw Texas start the game, and it felt like it wasn't a great game plan at the outset on either side of the ball for Texas. Sark tried to force the run up the middle, and frankly, UTSA, that's what they were ready for, and that's what they pushed for. And on the defensive side, it looked like more of the defense we saw a year ago, that soft kind of zone look that kind of let people walk down the field the first couple of series. What were your thoughts on that and how they started the game? Because I thought that did not look good to me.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
You know, it's funny. Offensively, it was a bit more of what I expected. I mean, regardless of who the quarterback was going to be, you got to make sure you test the run game, you test Bijan, you test and see if you can stop that aspect of the offense. And they came out prepared to do that. I did have concerns about how does this team run the ball when we know we need to run the ball or want to run the ball. And while we did go four downs to Bijan, at least we were able to get that initial first down. We just didn't establish it, and we have not established it consistently outside of having Roshan hand off the ball or be a part of that run game. So that's something we still need to figure out, and I know that's something we still want to sort through. Bijan is just too good of a talent, and it's not as if you can't give him a few yards or just a little space to crack something open. And we did see that happen in the second half. UTSA's adrenaline must have burnt out by that point, because our offensive line had him 3 yards down the field in that second half and gave Bijan more space, just gave our running game more space. So initially we weren't getting it, but I would like to see that happen a little bit sooner in the game, where we have those opportunities to really create that space for the run game much sooner. Defensively, you know, it felt like we were filling it out too. I mean, at the end of the day, they did get off the field on that first drive and just got away with a field goal after a first drive. It was a long drive. You want to see that. You can't particularly say that there was anything wrong, particularly that anyone just did. It wasn't any egregious penalties. It wasn't egregious runs. It's just a methodical drive. They went to a really big tight end who they found him in spots. And so you got to have to know that that's going to happen and weather those storms. Especially those initial game scripts to start the game. But, yeah, it just wasn't as sharp as we would see or that we saw last week, especially after those expectations we had after last week, seeing how the D-line built up. But it did feel like those guys, I won't say they wanted it more, but they did have a sense of urgency. They were sharp. They were, you know, controlling the line of scrimmage. They were getting the ball out quick. They were catching the balls. And they were calling the plays. So they came in prepared and dialed up. You know, kudos to them for sure for that. But not the way we wanted to start the game. But, you know, the goal is, I mean, over four quarters, you want to see the guys tune it in, pull it in, and reel it in. And they did that. And, you know, as much as you don't want to see a letdown, there was accommodation of, I can't even say it was as much of a letdown as much as it was a UTSA just being a well-trained team and came in prepared to play. And, you know, there's some things we want to clean up and coach through on that, but four quarter game, the score kind of tells a story of what you would expect in a game like this.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Texas, one of the guys on the message board here or on the post is saying that Texas wore them down. I think that's certainly the case. By the fourth quarter, Bijan popped that 41-yarder, and that was when they said uncle, basically, I think, you know. That was when it was over, kind of. And frankly, I felt like Texas played a good style of ball from basically the second quarter on. They still made some bad plays in the second quarter as far as missed tackles short of the stick. I mean, there were just a couple things, but at the same time, you know, they got better as the game wore on. Some things they made the interception happen. They forced the fourth and one where the guy dropped the pass because Frank Harris had a two-way go to get a first down on third and one, stopped them short, and at least put themselves in a position to get there, right? And that's part of it, is to make those people force them back in it one other time. A couple other plays to mention. Anthony Cook, I thought, had a great play near the goal line to stop that It was kind of like a route up the seam, and he stopped the guy, Drew, right short of the goal line. Well, UTSA only got 3 points out of that drive, and he stopped him on the two-yard line. UTSA then had a false start. Then there was they got a guy in the backfield on a run. So a lot of different guys had some good plays, and it was a four-quarter deal. Inside Texas, post-game show on Texas football, I'm speaking with Drew Kelson. Drew, I wanted to go back to something that we started with, and we talked about that lull at the beginning. And the lull was, I don't know how to say it other than it felt like it was permeating the whole team. Like nobody was stepping up and making a big play. Enter Roschon Johnson. And he makes a couple of just those second effort plays, and then he hurdles the guy to put Texas in position for its first touchdown. And he scores the first touchdown. I mean, I felt like they wanted a wake-up call, like the team needed a wake-up call. Roschon Johnson set the alarm and then rang the bell. I felt like he did what he needed to do. That's what a leader does. That's also talented, by the way. I mean, he came out and made a big play.
Ro has the juice, man. Ro just has the juice, I mean, when Bijan is back there, you expect him to make guys miss. You expect it to look really sharp and just, you know, I mean, there's God-given talent. He'll tell you, like, hey, this just God gave me this. Ro just goes hard. He goes hard. He makes guys miss just in a different way. He goes downhill. He's going to punish you. He just has a sense of urgency and tenacity that, you know, when he gets the ball, he's giving it his all. And he just juices you up. The way he gets first downs, it has to juice you up. It's usually physical. It's usually making guys miss in a way that dares them to do it again and dares them to try again. And then that gets you fueled. That gets you juiced up. He brought it. I mean, the wildcat, the wild row, whatever we call it, that really opened up the run game and opened up the offense really when we needed it in that second quarter. And you could just feel everyone knows what's going to come. And when you can do what you want to do when everyone knows what's going to come, that's really when your game plan, that's really when your adrenaline really starts to click. You can find some moments when you're doing trick plays and doing some other things, but everyone's seen this enough now to know, hey, when Roschon's back there at running back and he's back there with Bijan, they kind of know what's coming and they don't stop it. And it's all because of that juice. It's because of that energy he brings to it. You can't deny what he brings to this team. And they really responded after him kind of, you know, just really, really injecting the team with that.
Guys like Roschon Johnson are guys that help change the culture, right? Those are the guys that, you know, he's not the star running back. I mean, Bijan Robinson is a star, will be a high draft pick most likely. Mm-hmm. Roschon is not the star of this team, but I'll be doggone if he's going to be cut short for it. Right. I mean, he's going to get his when he gets on the field. And I felt like that was just a tremendous, effort by him today. One guy here says that he set the tone. I completely agree with that comment.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, because before then it almost felt like Texas was listless and you could tell Hudson Card needed help. He was off on the deep balls to Worthy. It didn't feel good and didn't look good at the outset. But let's give Hudson Card some credit too. That big 20 plus yard scramble, and then Bijan pops the 41 yard run, that put the game out of reach. And so Hudson Card for the second consecutive week. Last week he was 16-24. This week I think he was 15-23. So he's right at 60-65% in both games, right? So that it's not perfect. It's not Quinn Ewers. It's not Colt McCoy. It's not Vince Young, but he's doing some good things. No turnovers, right?
We're building. This is allowing us to kind of see elements of the team that we probably wouldn't otherwise see. You'd expect at least, let's say, just first quarter, if we just had to extrapolate that out, right? I mean, you'd expect, okay, if Quinn was a quarterback, we'd be doing so much more, so many different things with the offense. But this team, while they, in an ideal world, probably built to, hey, be able to put up points and blow out people as early and often as possible, they're resilient. They're battling, but they're also sticking behind Hudson. Hudson's not turning over the ball. He's not making bad decisions. He's making risky, selfless decisions at the time when the team needs it most. And he's playing within himself. He's playing within the offense. He's handing off the ball when he needs to. So when it comes to rallying, Hudson's doing everything this team could have asked him to do up until this point. But, you know, no, we don't forget, you know, there's certain moments where, you know, you have some passes here and there you'd like to have back, or you'd like for him to have a certain chemistry to connect with Worthy. But at the end of the day, everyone on that team and in that locker room knows what they're getting from Hudson. They're backing him up, and you can see it. And he has protected the football, and that is honestly you can't ask for anything more from regardless of the quarterback to just give your team a chance to go back, play another down, or get back on defense if you need to. And Hudson's doing that.
Speaking with Drew Kelsen of the former Longhorn great, national champion, 2005 Rose Bowl, ran side by side with Reggie Bush. Also made Joel Klatt forget a couple of days in his life in the Big 12 championship game with a hit underneath the chin. I'm reading a bunch of comments and thinking about this game. It's going to be a real shame, in my opinion, if DeMarvian Overshone is unavailable next week for the first half against Texas Tech. They have a new rule now, Drew, that the Big 12 office can relitigate that essentially after the game is had. Surely Texas is going to get a chance to get DeMarvian back.
I sure hope so.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
He was feeling some juice right before that play and on those plays.
He made two in a row. He made the pass breakup and then came on the delayed blitz. And that was really the first time that he truly affected the game, right?
We got to see him kind of take some ownership of that drive. And I've been waiting on a moment from the defense in general, someone besides Jahdae Barron, at least for a big play, from a big play perspective. And we'd be getting close all night and hadn't just gotten home. He was really took advantage of some moments on that drive. And with next week being a game on the road against a team who hates us dearly, you want his leadership. You want his presence on that defensive side. It's not often that, you know, Tech plays us and they're beating us because their defense is sound. It's usually that they're tuned up on an offensive side of things, and our defense needs to bring it. So hopefully they're able to review this thing and get Overshone's back with us next week, because he did provide some juice for us at a time where we really need to just take some momentum and ride with it. He brought it.
Drew, look at this defensive stat chart, if you can see it. Jalen Ford with 15 tackles, 10 solo. I mean, I would have never guessed that until I just saw it. I mean, that is a week after having 10 tackles, he gets 15. Of course, a lot of that's because that power run on the inside that they did. But at the same time, that's a wow stat, in my opinion, for Jalen Ford. Second week in a row, he's registered double-digit tackles. Otherwise, looking at all of this, Texas did not have Texas did have a sack. I guess they gave one to Tucker Dorsey. But overall, we look at it. That Tucker Dorsey sack happened when he actually the forced fumble, right, that they jumped on. You look at the Texas defense, and I thought they came out playing soft, and then they turned it up a little bit in the second and third quarters, particularly the third quarter. But I also want to say, Frank Harris, my hat's off to you. The quarterback for UTSA was better than he wasn't better than I expected. He had more moxie than I think anybody could have expected. I mean, he had a little bit of a Houdini act in him, right? I mean, he even, like, Vernon Broughton didn't even tackle him when he had him within arm's length because Vernon Broughton thought the ball had already been thrown at one time. It's like a double clutch pass. What are your thoughts on that, Drew? I mean, just playing against somebody like that and how Texas, I think, to your point, they wore them down over time, their defense did. But what are your thoughts?
You know, the one thing I like about great players, and I really do think Frank Harris is a great player, and I say that from the standpoint he owns his moments. You don't feel like a moment is controlling him or he is influencing him. He is influencing the game. He was the governor of the game. From an offensive perspective and from their team perspective, he was making plays. I mean, they had drop balls. He was making guys miss. He ran when he needed to. He got the right balls out. He missed some throws early, and I thought, okay, well, maybe he's not as accurate as I thought. No, he brought it. He kept bringing it. And so I actually appreciated this test for the team that he brought it, and that we had a guy who obviously had been very experienced at quarterback, had his full arsenal of talent, at least around him as far as receivers go, and a guy who was able to withstand the having backup offensive linemen. It was almost as if that wasn't an issue for much of the game. And so you got to have an experienced quarterback, a talented quarterback, and a quarterback who just has command of the team and of the offense to be able to do that. And I think Frank Harris, he did everything he needed to do and could have done for the team on today to keep them in that game and keep giving them opportunities to make plays. But yeah, and in a game like this where the one play where he was not perfect, it was a high ball. It got tipped, and you know, Jahdae Barron took advantage of it. And otherwise, that drive could have continued they could have continued to move on. He just had that type of command where, if you didn't get a big play like that, the game is still in hand for them moving forward. So, he was the governor of this game, and just fortunately, we were able to take advantage of an opportunity that he gave us because he didn't give us many.
No, he did not. He was very cautious with the ball, very, very smart with it. He really throws well on the run, on some option routes, kind of, and knows that he has a guy dragging late over to his side on some rollouts. He's like the 6'7". Like he's not going to be an NFL quarterback most likely. He just doesn't have the arm, right? But he's similar to the 6'7" center in basketball that gets like 13 rebounds and scores 20 points, right? He's not much.
I mean, it was like I started forgetting he was left-handed. I was like, wait, why are we letting him run to his left? This guy's just getting away. We're just anytime he escaped, he'd escape left. I'm like, how do we not corral him? Well, yeah. This guy can feel the game. He can feel the game. You really didn't have a sense that offensive line was full of backups. When you have a quarterback like that.
Yeah, exactly. He hides a lot of those problems, right? And they did try to get the ball out quick and early. It was fun to watch that. I mean, they're a good team, but Bijan Robinson, second half, was just too much. Texas run game, too much. Hudson Card did a good job overall. Far from perfect, but good enough. And to Drew's point, no turnovers. And you know, that was one of the bigger parts of the game is the second half interception return for a touchdown by Jahdae Barron. Drew, I want to talk about something else. Texas is now, we've got a bunch of questions in here, and I want to bring a couple of them up because I think that you know, you're a guy that has seen it all and done it all and all of this stuff. Let me ask you this. Teachable moments in this game. What do you think of some of the teachable moments from this game were for the Longhorns?
I can't help it, but I got to start with that onside kick. It's the first thing that pops in my head. I saw it actually last week at Bama. you kind of know Bama's not going to onside kick you in the second quarter, but I remember seeing some of our guys just preparing to sprint back. And what's crazy about sprinting back so fast on plays like that on special teams, a lot of these kickers are kicking it out of the end zone anyway. So to leave yourself vulnerable on that front line for an onside kick, these are the things you got to just assume are going to happen. You got to be looking out for, especially when, regardless of the score, you're on paper, you're against an overmatched team. So that's just something to be more mindful of. It was the first thing that jumped out to me. Beyond that, it's really that coverage on defense, on the defensive side of things, whether it was coverage, whether it was just urgency or just kind of having that edge and that tenacity early. I feel like guys were doing their job. I didn't feel like they were guns a-blazing on fire. And that leaves some things on tape where you can look around and be like, well, everyone's doing what they're supposed to do. Like, what's going on? It's like, well, we're not getting off field. We're not disrupting enough. It didn't feel like we had an edge and an urgency. So sometimes in these games, you could feel like you're doing your job. And credit to UTSA for coming out with a plan that kept us on our toes. But those are, I guess, in general, I wouldn't call it a moment as much as it is, you respect your opponent, you prepare to play for them. And there are times at the beginning of these games, you feel like you're doing your job and they're still moving the ball. There's something missing. And what's missing is that edge. What's missing is that desire is you're not going to beat me. You're not going to block me. You're not going to get these plays off against us for 13 plus plays on this drive. And that's something they can coach through. That's something I know they need to coach through, and they need it to experience today. So it was a perfect thing to experience, but I really felt it more on the defensive side early on. So I'll touch defense and special teams. If there's a coachable moment or coachable anything, I do feel like there's some things along the offensive line we can clean up for our run game. Against Bama, you don't really expect certain things to just open up for you. Against UL Monroe, even when you get it, that's an overmatch. I think this game in and of itself, with a team coming in prepared, that was rotating defensive linemen. They were all fresh, all doing a great job of just getting off the ball and challenging us. It did present some things I think we know we need to figure out as it pertains to the run game. It's like, what can we do to establish the run on rundowns when everyone knows we're running and without having Roshan hand off the ball? How can we just get into a rhythm on that? So, in a game like this, you want to win it. We want it great. We want to play complementary football with a defense and offense that kind of working hand in hand. You're getting off the field. You're driving the ball. You're burning some time off the clock. You're helping your quarterback out because you're establishing a run. We didn't exactly do that today. But that's where I think establishing that run or really continuing to focus on establishing that run so you don't have to lean so heavily on the quarterback early, regardless of who's back there, it's something I think we'll continue to focus on, because Bijan is just too great of a talent. Roshan's too great of a talent for us to not be able to lean more heavily on them, especially early in games, to establish ourselves.
Yeah, and I think that if I were to think anything that you teachable moments, it's not just it's not just the players. The coaches have to understand their team a little bit too. Hudson Card needed some throws to the outside to open up some running lanes early, I think, because UTSA was just too bottled up in the middle. But overall, from a team perspective, I really thought, Drew, that the biggest thing was they learned that the game's four quarters. And you have a lot of good players on your side, but it's an accumulation of what happens throughout those four quarters. And I felt like Texas finally played that way the last three, right? They got out and they were down, I think, 17-7, came back and outscored UTSA 34-3 down the stretch. And that's a pretty strong outing, right? I feel like if there's anything they can learn, it's that. All right, Postgame show is brought to you by accomplished Austin realtor Laura Baker. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert, a UT grad, and knows the Austin area about as well as anybody can. Laura at andyallenteam.com. I want to go to another question, and this is a fair one, I think, and that is more of where, you know, what type of runs do you think Texas is really good at this point? Are they good at the outside zone? Are they good in the wildcat, kind of where they get a two-way go with Roschon and Bijan? What is, because the quarterback's not going to run in Steve Sarkisian's offense. He's just not, unless it's a scramble like Hudson Card had, it's not going to be a design run most likely.
You know, what's funny is I mean, how can you not say it right now? It's with Roschon back there, at least from the standpoint of they know what's coming and we're able to execute it. I'd say that's where we're most successful. We just, if Roschon keeps it, it's going to be nasty. You know, if he hands it to Bijan, there's opportunities there. So it's hard to deny that that's just been successful because people know what's coming, teams know what's coming, and we're still able to get something out of it. You know, Christian Jones has really, you can feel his leadership and presence on that offensive line. I'd like to see them be a bit more cohesive and not allow penetration, because it seems like if there's nothing else, UTSA was just shooting gaps. They were just, you know, we're going to settle for penetration. It's not even about fitting the run correctly. We're going to disrupt. And if one guy leaks through, we'll corral beyond that. And you just got to, at some point, we have to control the line of scrimmage across the board because, too often I'm seeing one guy or even one and a half guys, meaning one guy will shoot a gap, he'll get penetration. Another guy just gets an edge or gets leverage, and it disrupts the whole run play. And we're starting to kind of do a little bit too much shimmying and shaking in the background. So I do think, you know, right now that, you know, with Roschon back there handing off the ball and this offense and the way it is, I mean, that's where we've been the most successful. But I do think that's also contingent on our passing game. You got to be able to pass the ball, stretch the field. And Bobby, you mentioned it. I mean, even throwing the ball out on some of our RPO reads out to the sideline as kind of, you know, supplemental run game helps open things up a bit. We didn't do that early, and that's fine. It's just when people know the run is coming or sense that run is coming, Roschon handing off the ball to Bijan has been a bit more successful than anything else right now. But I do think our run game right now is just really contingent on our pass game opening things up, and teams are going to come in and they're going to challenge us to stop the run. So we just got to continue to work through that. We got to hit those deep shots. We got to make them respect it. But right now they're daring us to beat them on the ground.
Yeah, they are. Drew, speaking with Drew Kelson, former Longhorn, played on the 2005 national championship team. I'm Bobby Burton. This is the Inside Texas and On Texas Football postgame show. Drew, a couple other questions for you. Texas had some important recruits in the stands tonight, or actually on the sidelines. I'm not sure which. Cedric Baxter, the nation's number one running back, was there for this game. He had to like what he saw from Bijan Robinson tonight, right?
I mean, that guy is so talented. And he's a leader too. I've probably followed recruiting closer than I ever have over the last since Sark has been on campus, because the energy and the aggressiveness and just the intentionality they have with recruiting, you appreciate it, right? Like they stick with guys, they pursue guys, they recruit through the whistle, they don't settle. So it's just made it more fun to follow recruiting. And Cedric Baxter is one of these players who, if you're a guy, Sark's going to find a way to get his guys the ball, whether that's Xavier Worthy, whether that's Bijan, whether that's Rhodes. Like, If you are a guy, Sark is going to get the ball to his guys. He's not just going to run his stuff. And he got the ball to his guys tonight. Protected Card, you know, Card had to make a few runs, make a few plays for us. But at the end of the day, you want to make sure you get the ball to your guys. Cedric Baxter is that guy. So to come to this game and see how Bijan performed, but Rowe performed too. He's going to get the ball to his guys. And so this was an encouraging night for Cedric Baxter to just see, like, hey, regardless of how the game's going, regardless of how the O-line's playing, you win by getting the ball to your guys. You're not going to have some secret guy pop up and win the game for you. We were in a position to where our guys should win the game for us, and the right guy stepped up for us, and he has to be encouraged by that.
I want to give a special shout out to a couple of guys that don't normally get shout outs for their blocking. Xavier Worthy, Jordan Whittington, both had some nice downfield blocks tonight. On the one long run by Bijan, or one of the long runs by Bijan, the 78 yarder, Worthy made a last second block that he basically shielded a guy from grabbing Bijan. Bijan was out of gas. I know it says all gas, no brakes. Well, that was on empty as he got it about inside the 10. But Worthy actually sped up and shielded a guy. That was a good one. Jordan Whittington on the 41-yard run absolutely just dominated his guy. Jatavion Sanders dominated his guy on that run as well. So those receivers making very, very good plays in the blocking game today. And that's part of the process, right, is you need those guys to help not just – late or not just on in the receiving game. They need to be able to block and help spring those guys for bigger runs. Drew, going back to the defense for Texas, what did you think of the secondary's play tonight? We haven't really touched on it too much, but particularly the corners, both Ryan Watts and Deshaun Jameson kind of got beat on an out and up. Jameson's play was called back, would have been a touchdown if not for an illegal motion. But Watts also got beat pretty bad there too. Anything that you can think about in that? I know Jameson also had a nice pass break up in the end zone, then had another one on a third down early in the third quarter that was big. Overall, what was your thought on the cornerback play?
You know, I'm glad they got tested. and I know there were some tests last week, but UTSA knew they had the quarterback and they had the receivers that they were going to have a chance to win this game. It was going to be in the air. Traylon Smith was hurt. They have to lean on their strengths. So we knew they were going to get tested. You can coach through getting beat on out and ups. I would like to see a bit more ball awareness when the ball's in the air from six. He's such a big guy, such a talent, but he got tested tonight. I'd like to see them make plays on the ball when it's in the air. There was a pass interference he had out in the end zone. I thought it was great coverage. He just has to keep his hands off the receiver. But they're close. And that's the thing is it's one thing to get beat. It's another thing to look at how did they get beat. Guys get beat on out and ups. You go through these routine plays, you think it's routine, and all it takes is an edge. All it takes is a step. And with this quarterback and these receivers, that's all they needed. It won't be that way every week, but an out and up can – all you need is a step. And so they really leaned on where they were strong, did a really good job of that. And that's in spite of – we weren't able to get real pressure on them consistently on these plays. But they're coachable moments there. I think we'll be fine. There's nothing to be concerned about. They're going to make their plays, and you got to give credit to UTSA for dialing those up at the right time, and trying to take advantage and beat our corners. I'm glad they got tested tonight.
Hey, couple of notes. Not only was Cedric Baxter in the house, Jontae Cook, the wide receiver from DeSoto, his teammate and also fellow Longhorn commit, Trey Weiser was in. Darian Gallette was there. I think Samaje Burrell. There are a lot of recruits on the sidelines for the Longhorns tonight. My apologies if I don't mention them all because we're focused a little bit more on the game right now. But Drew, speaking with Drew Kelson, Longhorn, former Longhorn, 2005 national champion. Drew, your thoughts really on Texas going to more 22 back personnel? It really seemed that that's when the game kind of turned, and not just when Roshan was in there, but well, I guess it coincides with Roshan being in there, but it wasn't always in the Wildcat type formation. It also was just with him and Bijan in the backfield with Hudson Card. Is there a reason why we don't see more of that sooner, in your opinion?
I mean, at the end of the day, I think you do have to keep offenses. I mean, you do have to keep defenses honest. If that turns out to be our best package and our core package, then great. You know, that means we're doing something well. But you do have to keep defenses honest. And at the end of the day, it does allow you to be multiple. I mean, you know both of those guys can go to the slot. They can split out a little bit. I mean, but it also just is a lot. I mean, you don't know if Hudson's going to go spread out to the sideline and have these two guys in the backfield by themselves. So it does make you prepare. It just leaves a certain level of uncertainty that allows you to do things that can really test the defense. And when you have your two receivers, I mean, you're in 21 personnel, it just really allows you to do a lot more, and the defense can't really sub out for it. So it will continue to see more of it. I think what's surprising about the two-back set and two-back personnel is you feel like your playbook gets shrunk down to only a certain amount of plays, and everyone should know there's only a certain variety of things you'll be able to run out of that. But it seems like they haven't stopped it. So maybe the reason why we're not seeing more of it is because it just seems so obvious of what we may or could be running when we're in those sets, but it succeeded. So, maybe this is a game we're just realizing, you know, maybe we should introduce a little bit sooner and have teams stop it first before we get away from it, instead of leaning on it after some other things aren't working. But it's definitely been one of those things that it's appeared to work out for us.
Yeah, I think that Texas, with a strong second half, you're just now joining us, defeating UTSA 41-20. Horns down at one point in the second quarter, 17-7. Come back and outscore UTSA 34-3 in the final in the second half, I guess. 24-3 in the second half, but 34-3 after being down 17-7. Very good game overall. I thought it wasn't necessarily a dominating game from the Longhorns from the outset, but by the second half and in the fourth quarter, we could tell, Drew, that it was really happening, that Texas was going to end up taking away with this game. This is a UTSA team that went 12-2 a year ago played two overtime games previously, beating Army a week ago in overtime, and then losing to U of H in three over, or beating, no, excuse me, losing to U of H in three overtimes in the very first week of the season as well. I want to look a little bit forward here because I think we have to, and that's to Texas Tech next week. Texas Tech lost 27-14 to NC State, Drew. What are the Longhorns trying to look to do when they go to Lubbock next week? And you know that atmosphere. What are your thoughts on it?
You can't make any assumptions when you go into Tech. I mean, this is a team that we this is a team that we've beaten actually more than most over the last 10 to 12 years where things have been tough. But you can't make any assumptions when you go to Lubbock. They'll be prepared to play. They'll want to play. They'll want to beat us. The crowd will be involved. We'll get a little dose of our own medicine in this first road game, with that atmosphere and that environment. Hopefully, regardless of what's going on at quarterback and regardless of what's going on defense, everyone's ready to take that one. Because, I mean, we come back home the week after that, and then we're back in Dallas. Then we're back home again. So we have some time before we have a true road game after this. We need to take this business trip seriously. Do I think Tech has enough to beat us? Do I think on paper they should beat us? No, not yet. And that's just that. But you can go into any environment, not be sharp, not be prepared. And they have players too, who will want to play four quarters. And unlike today, where over four quarters at home, your talent, your size, you wear them down, you win. That crowd in Lubbock, regardless of how much better we are on paper, I expect that to be a true four-quarter game of them being involved, them wanting to beat us, them being juiced, them finding the plays, and them making the most of opportunities. We can't expect anything less than that from this group going out as we go out next week out to Lubbock.
All right, Drew, speaking with Drew Kelson, this is the On Texas Football and InsideTexas.com post-game show. Let me ask you this question, if you don't mind. You talk about what happened tonight. This is the proverbial trap game, right? This is the game that Texas maybe lost a couple times here and there over the years. But they emerged from non-conference 2-1, which is a successful non-conference schedule. Or that's basically what everybody thought preseason Texas would be when right. They emerged from conference play. Everybody thought they would lose to Alabama, probably more convincingly. Everybody thought they would beat ULM easily and that UTSA might be a tough game, but eventually they went out. Long story short, we're a quarter of the way through the regular season, right before they get into conference play, and Texas is sitting at 2-1. Things that you think right now, given what you know, Texas needs to work on in the largest way, and what you think they can hang their hat on as they go into conference play?
Work on, I guess I'll start with offense for sure, is just how can we get Bijan going? And I mean going early and often, whether we're getting him the ball through the air, whether we're – he's just a talent. And not – between he and Roshan, I mean, we got to get those guys going. The more we can become less quarterback dependent, the more we become less quarterback dependent at this stage of the season. Once we're actually able to open things up a little bit more, whether that means Carr continues to just kind of get more chemistry on those deep balls, or Quinn Ewers has a chance to come back to us here in a bit. We still have to establish Bijan. We still have to establish that run game. We have to continue to mature along that offensive line to not just protect from the passing game, but to make some room in that run game. So that's something that I think we just continue to need to work on going into a conference play. And on defense, it's just – today was interesting on defense because I didn't feel like the D-line played bad. When you look at the stats, when you look at what the linebackers did, you'd assume the D-line held point and the linebackers were supposed to be teed up to just clean up everything else. And so just it doesn't look that skewed statistically if that's not the case. It's just hard to see it any other way. But I want to see us get a pass rush. We on those pass downs, whether it be with pressure or not, we have to find a way to get to the quarterback. I don't have answers for it right now, Bobby. I don't know who. I don't know how. That's probably the most concerning part for me is the pass rush. It's not even in the run game. It's the pass rush. How can we beat tackles, known money downs? You're going to miss – you have a guy come free on the blitz, you're going to miss some of those. Great quarterbacks are going to make plays, make you miss. But just getting home on downs when you need it, and then getting home on downs when you don't expect it. It's just we need to find a way to do that. Establish the run and get pressure on the quarterback are probably my two biggest concerns going into conference play, because really any quarterback in this conference – can't perform well against us if we're not making it hard for him to do so. So we got to find a way.
Yeah. I completely see your point. I think that of the guys that rushed the passer tonight, I actually thought Justice Finkley probably did the best job and played fewer snaps. Maybe Ethan Burke even did a better job than him. But that was also in kind of, I don't want to say garbage time, but late in the game. I just felt like the defensive ends that were trying to set the edge did not necessarily do a good job of hemming in Frank Harris. They really needed to do a better job of that and make him, when he was going to retreat backwards as opposed to up and out, you know, and that happened probably a little bit too often. At the same time, you can't be upset with a 41-20 win and UTSA only scores 3 points in the last 30 minutes of the game.
You can't be upset with that, Bobby, but I'll say this. They came into the game with backup offensive linemen and then had to back those guys up at some point. We did what we needed to do. There's no doubt about that. But we're just not at a point right now where anyone can say that part of the defense is something we can lean on, something we can trust, we'll be able to have when that time comes. Right now, fortunately, we have DBs. We're getting coverage sacks. We're getting coverage pressure. And so a lot of times when the quarterbacks are running, it's because the coverage is great. But, you know, we got to help out these DBs. We got to help out this defense by finding a way to get some pressure on the quarterback. Just got to do it.
Yeah, they may need it. It's not happening from the guys they got necessarily in there from the outside right now. At the same time, those guys may be more well-versed in what they're trying to do on defense in general and part of the process there. I agree with you. They got to get going. I also want to give Frank Harris some credit too, because he's hard to sack. I mean, there are a couple of times when they had a beeline on him and he just made some plays. I mean, what do you just tip your hat to that guy, right? And so I'm not super upset about the pass rush, but I do think that they just didn't get home tonight. And if they would have gotten there a little bit quicker a couple of times, I think they would have been able to do it. But we'll go there from we'll look in and see what happens next week when they go to Lubbock, because I think that offense is going to be a little bit different in that it won't be such a quick throw offense. They're going to actually try to do some more stuff downfield, and more frequently. And so we'll get a better sense for really what that is, even though Donovan Smith, the Tech quarterback, is somewhat mobile, or not somewhat, but very mobile. Hey, Drew, what did you think? I don't know if you saw it, but Quinn Ewers was dressed and on the sidelines today, throwing in pregame stuff. You think that you've been around people that have injuries? Is that guy possibly coming back next week against Tech, or is it going to be 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks? I mean, you don't typically dress out the quarterback if he's not going to play at all. And they dressed him out like, hey, he might have a chance to play. Obviously, he didn't. But what are your thoughts on that gamesmanship a little bit by Sark and what it may mean?
I mean, you go as far as you can go without going over. You know, Quinn, can you dress up? Yes. Quinn, can you throw a couple passes on the sideline? Yes. Do what you absolutely can do. Be as involved as possible. Be as included in the game plan as possible, and just be a part of it as much as possible. We still all have, you know, no idea when he'll be back, but you got to get him involved. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, all last week, and this was after seeing him on the ground and seeing Sark look towards the Alabama sideline and throw his hands up at Saban, like, you know, because that initial reaction was like, man, was that dirty? You know, but for the rest of that game, I'd look over to one of my buddies who was at the game with me. It was like, dude, what if Quinn just runs out? What if he just runs back out right now? What if they shot him up with something? So I think I exhausted all my hope that Quinn would come back sooner than expected all last week. Today, I kind of knew. Yes, gamesmanship, but also just, you know, you want him involved and engaged as much as possible. And the team still rallies around him. I mean, you can kind of see that connectedness the team has. Even with him being out on the sideline, you can see that. So cheers to them for just kind of getting them out there and, you know, giving us some hope, or at least a little look at, you know, at least he's throwing the ball. But hopefully I trust that they'll do what's best on bringing him back when the time is right.
Speaking with Drew Kelsen, former Longhorn, 2005 national champion, Houston Lamar grad as well. For those that don't remember Drew in high school, I covered him in high school. So it's great talking to him here some 20 odd years later. But the postgame show today or tonight is brought to you by accomplished Austin realtor Laura Baker. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Again, if you're looking for a second home in Austin or just looking to move somewhere within Austin, Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. Contact her at laura@andyallenteam.com. Drew, you know, you've had about an hour now to kind of, I know we're talking, but you've also, I know how brains work. You kind of think while you talk sometimes, you know. Major takeaways for you tonight. If you're going to go to bed tonight, what are your main takeaways from this game?
You know, I kind of said this probably on Twitter earlier in the game is the goal right now, I think for all of us, we know there's a difference in what we're doing offensively and just the way the game looks when yours is out there versus any other combination. You know, this is no slight to anyone else who's been battling for us. And I really mean that. With Card is really showing up and the team is rallying around him. He's doing things that, you know, he's still banged up and injured. He's stepping up for the team. So we can't, I don't want to undervalue that at all, but one thing that I want to continue to see us develop every other position while we wait to really open this thing back up. If we can just continue to find a way to get W's, continue to grow closer. We kind of know this offense just looks different when you can stretch the field and when you can distribute the ball through the air. And I think we know enough to know like there's just a difference between what Quinn brings. So I thought the team did what they needed to do tonight to get this win. I'd like to see us continue to lean on Roshan and lean on Bijan, not just from a leadership and energy standpoint. Not just from a production standpoint, but from a leadership and energy standpoint, I do think those guys, when they get going, everybody gets going and gets juiced, and they have the ability to do it more consistently, I think, than maybe Hudson does when it comes to just really generating offense. So we got to continue to find a way to get those guys going. Defensively, I've said it about the pressure, but one thing that stands out for me is I trust this team is going to play four quarters. I trust this team will – you can't pick your adversity, Bobby. Every game is going to have something that happens. You can't choose what it's going to be. You just have to respond to it. You have to step up. You have to step in, and you got to just close out games. This game could have been completely different if they hadn't kicked a field goal even on that first drive. This team is notorious for having penalties, UTSA is. And those things came to light during critical times. And you say, oh, we got lucky, but that's who they are too. And so kind of that first stop, getting 3 points out of that drive as opposed to letting them score a touchdown. I mean, there were certain moments in that game where you can see that resiliency. You can see that focus and just that determination come through. Clean tackling came through on that drive. That big, you know, just I really like that this team has experienced enough already to show that they know it's a four-quarter game. They know it's a fight. It doesn't matter the opponent. I do feel like they did come to play four quarters in spite of the opponent. It wasn't a sleepy start to me as much as it was just a team came out prepared and juiced and found some edges and had an experienced quarterback and took it away. So there's nothing – there aren't as many concerns or any new concerns, I'd say, that came from this game. I'd say there are some things here that we kind of have seen are some challenges and we still need to continue to work on, and that's just who we are today. But all in all, this team plays together. They play four quarters. They rotate a lot of guys through. They find a guy who's getting pressure. If they find a guy who's clicking, they roll with it. So I know we can hang our hat on them playing four quarters. I know we can hang our hat on the team coming prepared schematically and Sark having his team prepared schematically. But I'm also glad we had some challenges tonight, Bobby. We need those challenges. We can't have these cupcake games. We got this team still needs to be tested. This team still needs to be prepared for the uncertainties of this season. And to tonight at home, I'm happy we were able to walk away with a win, but there's some definitely some teachable moments. So I'm very proud of this team, the way they've continued to play through the uncertainty and play through moments where they probably expected to beat this team and wanted to blow them out and wanted to win by 20 plus. And they probably would have rather done that in the first quarter, but they just stuck with it. And they found a way to have the game end that way instead of start that way.
Drew, you know, I think you're right. And the piece that I come back to is what does this game look like a year ago? You know, think about that and think in your head, what does this really look like? Well, it doesn't end up 41-20. That's for sure.
Right.
It's probably more like 35-35 and we're going to OT. That's my thought process on it. And so, yes, they've gotten some new guys in that have helped on defense and on offense. And they've got Jatavion Sanders now is becoming a power in the run game. I mean, he's actually becoming a plus blocker, which is outstanding given that he's such a good receiver. And then you add another year of Roshan and Bijan. And, you know, this is a Texas team that won a home game with their number two quarterback, essentially. And they won it by 3 touchdowns. That doesn't happen a year ago, probably. And so I feel they didn't win many games at all last year. Lowell Galindo, I was watching the game on the TV. Lowell Galindo, Texas has lost they've only won 2 of their last 9 games or something like that. And I'm just going, wow, what a stat, right? It's like that was one of those depressing stats.
Right.
But it made you think, and that overcoming that means something. And you have to do it over time to become a winner.
I, you know, Bobby, one thing that really stands out for me in the difference between last year and this year, it's hard for a coach to make adjustments in the game. It's hard for a coach to make adjustments at halftime when guys just aren't doing their job. Because a coach can feel like, hey, I've schemed this up. This guy dropped the ball. This guy missed the tackle. And there's just – so you can't really say, like, well, why aren't coaches making adjustments when a coach is thinking, my schemes are working. The guys aren't executing. You really get a true sense of what your schemes are doing and what adjustments you need to make when guys are going 100 miles an hour, when guys are playing hard, when guys are really bought in and you're getting every bit of their effort every play. So if a scheme's not working, like, you know what? This play didn't work because the guys aren't trying or because the guys are missing tackles or because the guys aren't really just committed to doing their job. It didn't work because we're not there yet. I should pivot from this. I should pivot from that. And that's probably one of the main things I've noticed about this team is the coaches can actually coach and make adjustments and see what the team is good at and not good at because the guys are actually doing the work. They're actually going out there and executing. And you can play more, you can scheme more around it, you can do more with your X's and O's on both sides of the ball because you know you're getting the effort. And you're not just conceding that the only reason our defense isn't working, our offense isn't working, is because this guy missed the block, or this guy's missed the tackle, or this guy's dropping passes, or the pass is inaccurate. Like, you can actually get a real evaluation. And coaches are actually – I mean, the coaching staff are really able to make some adjustments because they know the guys are doing everything they need to do their job. And so I think that's a really big difference this year is the coaches can do far more from a schematic standpoint than probably they were able to do last year because you just blame it on, gosh, man, the guys, that play would have worked if the guy would have caught the ball when really that set, that down and distance, that personnel group probably wouldn't have worked. But you don't know that if you're thinking the reason why it's not working is because guys aren't doing their job. So that's one thing this effort and this energy and just this consistency has brought that I feel like it gives the coaches a chance to make some adjustments because they know the effort will be consistent in executing it this year.
Yeah, I think you sense that they trust the players a little bit more, right? That's really what you're talking about. And the players, I think, are trusting their teammates more too.
Yeah.
And that there's some value in that. And I also would say this, I see a bigger difference right now in a game like this on defense than I did offense. I do think that some of the blocking by the receivers shows a more of a team-based atmosphere. You know what I mean? But there were a lot of team-based defensive plays over the night. That third down stop of Frank Harris, 1 yard short, which caused the fourth and one. That was a team defense play. There were a couple others. So I feel like Texas is doing some good things, and their coaches, the players are being coached, and they're stepping up a little bit more and more. You know, I look at it, speaking with Drew Kelsen, former Longhorn, tonight, Rod Babers is at a wedding. Or I think he's probably, I think the wedding is over. Rod's probably on the dance floor right now. he's officially doing some kind of the Macarena or something right now.
Rod's doing a wobble right now.
But long story short, Rod will be back next week along with Tommy Yarish as well. Neither one of them were able to make the game. Drew, you've been so kind to be with us here. You know, Drew, I want to ask you some other things. On that hit, they're saying now, based on what we're hearing, our producer Matt Hutchinson's signaling me, that DeMarvian Overshone saying that he was told it was a defenseless hit on the quarterback. How is a quarterback that's trying to throw the ball, that has the ball in his hand and looking forward, defenseless? That's like you can't tackle him that makes almost no sense to me. Are they Sorrell, making things up just to make things up?
Sorrell had a hit that was more egregious, if even that,
yeah,
than that hit earlier in the game. It's just they get to review that, right? They get to go back and look at that, and I hope they make the right decision, man. They have to make the right decision on that. You can see and feel intent. It's just that's not it. I'll be the first one to tell you that I really didn't care about the gray line when it came to hits. That wasn't it. That was not it. So hopefully. I know in the moment, even for these refs too, I mean, they have to come up with some excuse, and they have to protect themselves. Hopefully they go back and review this and just make it right and let you know, DeMarvian come out. And we really need him on the road next week. I'm telling you, if you don't hear it anywhere else, this Lubbock game is not something to just think we're going to roll out there, man.
Hey, you've been there when they allowed tortillas on the floor, on the field. So it's
tortillas, batteries. Yeah. They throw some stuff at you. You gotta go. We prepare for next week. We definitely need Demo for next week. Hopefully they review that and get this right. Of course, after last week's game, a lot of those calls couldn't be reviewed and be made right, but hopefully this will be one of them that we just get them back. And, you know, fortunately the game was already kind of trending in our favor before that hit, but you see it every week, Bobby, whether it's our game or any other games, it's getting real tough to just watch some of these kids lose an opportunity to finish games. And even sometimes the next game.
That could have swayed the game though. I mean, Texas was going to get the ball up, ball back by two scores.
Yeah.
And that was a third down sack, Drew. They would have got off the field, got the ball back up 11. Instead, UTSA takes that same drive and walks the ball down the field, and that's when Texas held on the fourth and one.
You call that, Bobby? You could really call a lot of those.
I know.
It opens up so many more plays where – you're just making an honest defensive play, great play, momentum play, exciting play, and
yeah,
you're walking to the sideline shaking your head.
All right, so tomorrow I'll have Justin Wells on to do a rapid reaction. We'll be going over the offense and defense, talk about some of the players of the game that we thought for the offense and defense. Also, lunch with the coaches on Monday with Coach Brian Irwin. The post-game show is brought to you by accomplished Austin realtor, Laura Baker. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime real estate expert. The final from DKR, Texas defeats UTSA, the Roadrunners, and Jeff Traylor go down 41-20. It wasn't without trying from Frank Harris, a very mobile and apt quarterback. But in the end, too much Bijan Robinson and probably a little too much Texas defense, especially in that second half, holding UTSA to just 3 points. For Drew Kelson, I'm Bobby Burton. That's been the On Texas Football, InsideTexas.com postgame show. We'll also have more postgame coverage on InsideTexas.com. Hook 'em, everybody.
Hook 'em. Okay.